Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest-running Dynasty-focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week, we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening. Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest-running Dynasty-focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week, we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another TRAD. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem, making all these trades up. Got me singing got 'em, but I've been paid up. I even started from the bottom, see I don't wait up. I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk, but I'm an addict. It's what I said in the first, you can curse all you want. You can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn, I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade addicts pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Hart, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Tyler Gunther, and I for sure have a trading problem.
For sure. Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 99 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. We are here on a day of NFL insanity, awesomeness, insanity. So I had the flu last week, which is why I was not on the show with Brian. So I missed like work all week last week. Today, due to not my virus, but the world's virus at this point, I got to work from home. So I'm sitting, I have my laptop set up, and my phone won't stop making noise. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? News, football. I set up my personal laptop next to my work laptop so I could just follow what the heck was going on today. And I am so impressed upon by our guest that I just said heck instead of hell, by the way, because freaking Minnesotans.
He said freaking.
What have I become?
That's still a curse word here. So
sorry, Tyler's mom. Didn't mean to do that. We've been making her pretty angry already so far. But besides the fact that everything's been insane, it's been for good reason. And let's first help Brian. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
God, you're boring. How you doing, Tyler?
Oh, man. Like that. I'm sorry, Brian, but that was so like not very energetic that you made me sad inside. Like I feel down. I'm trying to boost myself back up at the moment. I'm trying to take some breaths, not too deep, 6 feet away.
Four in, four out.
Don't wanna attract anything. But man, I will tell you guys, today was a breath of fresh air. And to get all that coronavirus talk kind of out of the mind and get the free agency buzz going, I completely forgot about kind of what was going on in the world. It was great, and it was kind of a refreshing thing. I don't know about you guys.
No, completely 100% agree. It was wonderful. It was fresh air. It was reinvigorating is like the best word I could think about. It's just like everyone's just sort of in the doldrums right now, just like ugh.
And then you run out of toilet paper that second. And
oh yeah, I totally meant to like bring over one of my giant like 12 packs and start bragging about it, because you know Tyler, first he was begging me to come onto the show tonight because he was bored because he didn't have work, and then I'm like, okay, you know what, fine, I'm tired of hearing it, you can come on. He's like, it'll cost you two rolls of toilet paper. Like, I'll take a picture of that was, toilet paper if that counts.
I mean, that was pretty expensive in my eyes.
I mean, I can't really. What am I going to throw it to Minnesota from New Jersey? Try and push it to the screen.
You don't have that type of arm.
I do not.
Speaking of Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, not cool. And he's one of the people we don't even have news about. You were on the show before, Tyler. You were sort of co-hosting at that point because Peter was technically the guest. We don't really need to do the entire interview thing with you because you are the grand almighty Dynasty Happy Hour Tsar King.
Tsar's King?
Dictator.
Jeez.
Tsar's King. Damn it, man. trying to be nice and suck up to you, and you're just...
I am an ordinary fella who got a couple things right that people take advice from. And I got y'all fooled.
Yeah.
What? I was just going to say, and most importantly, got me into this thing. Tyler was the that's where DHH is he was the first one to give me an opportunity in writing, so I appreciate that, my man.
So I have you to blame for him.
I mean, where do you think he gets his niceness from? His
my niceness,
completely not fake niceness.
My looks.
You mean that's not everyone in Pittsburgh?
What? Are you shitting me?
So speaking of Pittsburgh, you're a Steelers fan.
Yep,
we got to think of a new nickname for Big Ben because he is not Big Ben. He is extremely large Ben. Is he?
He's only like 270.
Yeah, like 3 months ago.
I mean, he's biggest Ben at this point.
Biggest Ben.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah,
I'm not worried yet.
What is he hiding in that beard? Like, you know how when people really let themselves go, they grow out the beard to kind of make themselves look a little thinner. Yeah. Like, his beard's out of control, so I'm wondering, like, it's just chin to chest. There's no jaw.
That's what he's hiding.
There's no jaw.
He's hiding a Roethlisberger in there. It's Permane. It's Permane's best sandwich he got downtown. It's just drinking Iron City with it. And I don't
know what the hell he's
is that how
about.
They talk over there? And I thought we were bad.
Oh, we're much worse. We are much worse.
All right, before we alienate both our Minnesotan and our Pittsburghian. All right, we don't actually have listeners from those places, I'm sure.
Oh, but wait, you're from New York, so you got that crazy accent, eh?
I'm from New Jersey, first of all. We're a separate state. And
you guys are a separate state?
We talk normal. I don't know what you're talking about. We talk normal. You guys talk weird.
Speaking of that, I want everybody during this podcast to check out me and my best friend Sal. We got our picture taken the other day.
Yes,
it's my new profile picture.
Glamour shot.
We're pretty much best friends.
At DHH underscore Tyler on Twitter. Go check it out. It is a beautiful, beautiful couple's photo. But let's just... all right, you done coughing, Brian? Can you get us with the news so we could just get into this craziness?
Here's the news!
I tried to like keep this in chronological order of when it happened, and then I just got so overwhelmed I just started typing as I could. But let's start with the first thing I remember happening. Ryan Tannehill got re-signed for good money. I'm thankfully for not too much money, but Ryan Tannehill got re-signed, which is nice, which is one of the few things that happened that we expected to happen, which of course following that Derrick Henry got franchise tagged, which is again one of the few things that happened that we thought was going to happen. Does this change anything for either of you, for anybody involved on this team at this point? Or is it so much that we just expected that it's whatever?
I love it for AJ Brown because it seemed like they had a chemistry going. And the second part of the season, that's when AJ Brown really ramped up. And that was when Tannehill took over from Mariota. And they started getting that chemistry when AJ Brown started playing more. I love it for him. I think AJ Brown is still going to go up. I think what we saw last year at the end of the year is what we're going to see more. Corey Davis is still there as a human being. He's a warm body on the other side. I'm sorry, but if he is anything more than like maybe he has a Marvin Jones kind of boost later on in the season, but I mean that's if he changes teams. But I mean this is AJ Brown's receiving core, and then I mean you got I'm not going to go any further because I think I'm not sure if you guys are going to talk about the tight end news in Tennessee, how Delaney Walker got cut. So
I might as well go. I forgot to write that down. That was like days ago. So yeah bring it up.
Jonnu Smith, he should be getting more targets, but I think it's AJ Brown, and then you're probably not going to want to start anybody but Derrick Henry. But with Tannehill, man, I mean, I think if you got him in super flex leagues, you are very happy to see the extension. It's pretty much a 2-year deal, but it's pretty much locked in. He's there for 2 years. And in super flex leagues, knowing you're going to have a quarterback stable for 2 years, that is pretty good insurance to have.
Anything special on you, Brian?
Not really. No, Tyler hit it. I mean, I think, you know, it's not crazy, but they definitely made an investment in him for the next couple of years. Looks like they can get out after the second year for 10 mil, I believe. But they're definitely, I mean, they're not cutting him before that because the hits are just too much, the dead cap hits. So, I agree though. I mean, AJ Brown, it's okay for him. Like Tyler talked about, the chemistry there, and then Derrick Henry's going to run the ball 30 times a week. So I don't think the other thing here, and this is kind of moving ahead to the Henry talk, but I think with Derrick Henry, I think they run him into the ground this year. I mean, they are literally going to run him into the ground this year, and they're not going to sign him long term. They know they got him for this year. They run him into the ground and then they let him go, or draft somebody, you know, in the middle rounds to back him up and to be there moving forward, because this is, you know, I mean, I don't see them signing him long term.
Yeah, and also the Deion Lewis experiment has ended because he was dropped, right? I almost said he retired, but I think that's probably just inevitable at this point. But they dropped him for sure. But yeah, no, again, like, this is good that it happened, and it happens quick, because I feel like Tannehill getting signed and Henry getting tagged was so obvious to everyone that it was baked into their asking prices for trades anyway, that to me this changes absolutely nothing for them, either in price or in like ADP standings. So I'm just unthrilled by either of this, which I guess to where we're about to go a little later, actually next, it's a good thing, right? Like, it's nice to have a little bit of stability, know what we're doing.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the first WTF of the day. Austin Hooper went to the Browns. What the hell, man? Like, and like for a lot of money. And let's ask my first question. We knew Atlanta wasn't going to be able to afford him, so we knew he was going somewhere. Why the Browns? I get why it's... I mean, it's good for Baker. To me, that's like the only answer. Well, yeah, of course, Hooper went there for the money, but like...
I don't think so. I think, honestly, it's because you look at Mayfield's rookie year in the red zone. He was very efficient. He was awesome in the red zone. And just... Njoku didn't turn out. He was injured, and he's going to be. He's going to be a tight end, too, at the moment on that team, unless he gets traded for. You're not going to be able to use him in fantasy, so anybody who's believing in Njoku, I am... deeply sorry, but that is not happening. I'm going to say it one more time. It's not happening. Njoku is ultra talented. Yes, he's young. He could have a resurgent on another team, but for this year, you're going to have to look elsewhere. Hooper is a very good tight end. I have seen him play in Atlanta, and each year I've seen him get better. His first year, he looked like he was slower than Jason Witten. Second year, I thought he had a little more juice. Third year, he had a connection with Matt Ryan, which was great. He needs to find that with Baker to actually stay on this path of getting better each and each year. And I think he can. And but like I was telling Russ, you in the UDPL chat, I could see a 700-yard season, probably like 60 catches and 10-plus touchdowns, just because I think Baker's efficiency in the red zone will come back. And I think Hooper's going to be a significant part in that comeback for Baker.
Yeah, I mean, I am a big Odell fan, and I'm a big Landry fan. Like, that's where my biggest issue is, that I don't think there's going to be a lot of targets for him. But yeah, you brought up the red zone thing, and I think that's a very good point, because neither, I guess, back shoulder fades, I guess, for Odell.
How many passes did he have per game in the red zone that Beckham didn't come down with? Like, a lot.
No,
it happened a lot.
And Hooper's like a big body tight end. Like, he's athletic and he's big. That's what they needed.
Like, Hooper can sneak behind the linebackers like he's a spy almost. And all of a sudden, just boom, he's wide open. That's what happened with Atlanta a lot. Like, oh, who's this guy? No, he's a tackle. Forget about him. Oh, shoot, that's a tight end.
So Tyler, you watched him in Atlanta as a Falcons fan. Can he block?
He's a good all around tight end. He's very willing, I would say.
Is he willing to pass block? Because here's the problem. If they don't get some help up front to keep Baker off his ass, they did.
Tyler Conklin.
Oh, they did get Tyler Conklin today. How the hell did
Which means they could draft a left tackle.
Yeah.
They could do a left tackle in the draft. And I think having the freaking edges sealed for Baker is going to be a huge deal for him.
So the deal here is that if Baker doesn't perform this year,
oh God,
then we're talking about Baker.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have made excuses for him, and some of them are legit excuses. I mean, they were bad on the offensive line, and he was on his ass a lot last year. So, but I mean, if they can keep him upright and he doesn't perform with the crew that's around him at this point, I mean, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in the backfield, those receivers we just talked about, adding Hooper, I mean, he better show us this year.
Yeah, I completely agree. And Baker needs to. I think Baker just got too deep into the superstar mentality. He's on commercials all the time. He put on some dad weight, and he's not a dad. So I think Baker needs to get back into that shape that he was in Oklahoma. I think he's trying to work hard at it. You see videos of him on the treadmill and everything. So he also needs to put in the work and effort. I think he just thought it came naturally, and it's not going to happen if he doesn't work at it.
All right. So let's bring this back to where it started. Austin Hooper. I mean, he was going what, tight end 5-6-ish. What do we think that this move to Cleveland does for that? Is this good for his value? Bad for his value? Does this change anything? I mean, start with Tyler, because you're the biggest fan and you seem to like where he is.
I do. And I think he's kind of standing pat for me, which is tight end 5. I think I got Andrews around tight end 3. And then from there on out, I mean, you got Ertz behind Kelce and Kittle. So, yeah, it'd go Andrews at 3 for me. And then, I mean, Hockenson. No. And then Hooper. And Hooper is probably around 5. 4 or 5, depending on how I feel about Ertz, but that's another questionable tight end that could be on the downslope. But I think Hooper being a year and 4 months younger is what I saw on Twitter than the guy that Atlanta got. He's still super young, and he signed a massive contract to stay with the Browns. So I think he is going nowhere for fantasy.
Well, I mean, I just pulled up the ADP because I will play the game. I was going to play the game that Brian loves to play. But I don't know. There's like a cliff pretty much, because the first 6 people, Kittle, Kelce, Andrews, Ertz, Engram, Hooper. I think that's, I mean, close enough. If not, you know, those 6 are the top 6, I think, pretty easily. But after Hooper is Hunter Henry, Noah Fant, Darren Waller, TJ Hockenson, and then you're at Dallas Goedert and Mike Gesicki. Are there any of those people you would put over Hooper at this point right now?
I'd consider Fant. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's purely based on potential, not on anything we've seen.
And you said Ingram's over Hooper?
One spot.
I'd probably rather have Hooper. And that's not even close. Actually, I'd rather have Hockenson than Ingram at the moment.
But to me, Ingram just scares me because of injuries. Everything else, yeah. I would like him. But that's really my biggest turnoff to Ingram, is the fact that he's just hurt a lot.
So here's the other guy. And I wouldn't do this right now, obviously. I mean, based on what we've seen. But the other guy that's going to start sneaking into that conversation is Tyler Higbee. If he continues to do what he did for the second half of the season last year, I mean, he's going to be in that top group, that top six or seven that we're talking about.
Yeah.
He was an animal talking, over the last 7 weeks.
Tyler and I were talking, I think it was before you jumped on, Brian, but whoever in that Los Angeles tight ends, because whenever it was just one of them, that one was doing really freaking well.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they do go back to one tight end sets and whoever they pick, I think is going to do well. And I think they did just give Higbee money. I don't remember, maybe.
Yeah, it was like a 4-year deal they paid. I think the thing with that is if these Brandon Cooks rumors are true about him getting traded, I think that would be a huge boost for Higbee as well.
Yeah, because then they can more easily run the two tight end sets.
Yep.
Because as much as I love Josh Reynolds, I don't think he's going to be a thing.
No.
No. Okay, so we're trading absolutely nothing for Tannehill, absolutely nothing for Derrick Henry, absolutely nothing for Austin Hooper. AJ Green got the franchise tag, which again, we sort of saw coming. Well, at least the Bengals told us they were probably going to do it. Does this do any, like, if anything, does this lower AJ Green's value? Because now the hope of him going somewhere else is gone. Like, does this anything?
Not for me. No. I mean, I actually, look, the bottom line with AJ Green is he's got to stay healthy. That's it. I mean, the dude, when he's on the field, produces, period. And he's produced with an average quarterback.
Whoa.
In Andy Dalton. I love Andy Dalton, but they're getting, I believe they're getting an upgrade in Joe Burrow, assuming that that's the pick. I mean, and I having a guy like AJ Green healthy, and on the field, the guy that's able to go get, you know, go high point balls, and make contested catches and those types of things. You know, even if he's lost a step speed wise, which I don't really know if he has or not, he's had all the foot issues, so it's likely, and he's getting a little bit older. But I like it. I mean, I think it's a smart move by them too. I know they have some other guys, you know, in Auden Tate and in John Ross and Tyler Boyd, of course, that are exciting players, but I mean, AJ Green is a staple in that offense. And I think with a new quarterback, he can be that veteran presence among that wide receiving core to help those other guys out too. So, I personally like it for the Bengals. I think it's a smart move.
Yeah, I'd actually agree with that because Burrow, I think, is a very competent quarterback. Boyd is in the middle, and I think this helps Boyd still. They got John Ross. And then if you keep AJ Green there with Joe Mixon, yeah, that offense is looking very prime for a huge, huge season.
Yeah, see, I love it because, and especially like Joe Burrow, we've seen him operate with these kinds of receivers. Like AJ Green and Tyler Boyd, like that's what we want Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson to be. I mean, maybe you want Jefferson to be more than Boyd, but I like Boyd, so I don't think that's a bad thing to say out loud. So to me, it's a perfect fit. I love him there. You know, at least in college, Burrow was willing just to fling it. So hopefully he won't lose that nerve, swagger, whatever the hell you want to call it, and still be willing to do that. My question is, now you have AJ Green on your team. Let's say you're using this as an opportunity to sell. What would it take for you to feel happy to move AJ Green off of your team in a 12-team Superflex league?
Oh, man.
Do you think you're getting a first at all for AJ Green?
I think the first has been out of the question for about 2 years. I mean, I don't think you're getting a first. To be honest with you, I think if I could get a mid-second rounder for him, I'd be completely happy, especially in this draft, if you can do that. Yeah, I would probably do that right away. The chances of that happening are probably slim still because people are absolutely in love with rookie picks. So the issue is trying to find that trade partner that's in win now. The what I like to call Jason Thomas, who is part of DHH. He loves those veteran players and he hates rookie picks. And there could be one or two of those guys in your league. And if you can attack that guy for AJ Green and get that early second, yeah, I mean, I'm happy with that. You're still going to lose production from AJ Green. He could be an 800-yard receiver, but the days of him being elite are done.
I mean, Father Time loses no battles, but that still hurts to hear. I mean, I just...
Yeah. The crazy thing is he was in the same class with Julio, and he seems like he is just... just finished compared to what Julio is. Like, Julio seems like he's going to go for another 1,400 this year and two touchdowns.
See, the only reason it's funny, is absolutely the wrong word, but like, Julio got his foot injuries out early.
And yeah, he got him out of the way. They were approached by the injury fairy and were like, you can either start your career off very well and then end up having foot problems, or you can have these foot problems early. One of you has to decide one of each. And they had to like do rock, paper, scissors to decide who's the early and who's the late.
Julio, so good. But no news on him. All right. So since Brian just freaking disappeared, I don't know. He didn't say anything.
He had a cough and then he started putting tarp up.
Oh, yeah. That happens every once in a while. He has to look at me for too long and things just happen. So we'll skip over the fun one. Fun is, again, absolutely the wrong word. We're going to talk about the Bears being interested in Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. Is Mitch Trubisky experiment just over, or is this going to be a battle?
It sucks for people who traded for Trubisky. I was in a startup just now, and Trubisky, I think, went in the 15th round in a super flex startup.
Let me pull up TA8.
People do not like Trubisky, and I am one of them. Like, we were talking on DHH about if Hooper went to Chicago, and I cringed. I'm a Hooper fan and I cringed. I'm like, no, like, don't let him die there. Like, maybe that's why they signed Jimmy Graham, because Jimmy Graham's like, I need to go, put me somewhere where my career can end. I can still get money. And so he went to Chicago. No, at Trubisky, I mean, the accuracy is a huge issue, and it was shown. There's balls 20 yards away that he was thrown in the dirt 5 yards in front of the receiver. Allen Robinson was visually getting frustrated at him in games and still dominated with Trubisky at quarterback. So imagine Allen Robinson with a competent quarterback, and that is Andy Dalton. If Andy Dalton goes to Chicago, give me that. Yeah. Like, I like Nick Foles. He's all right. But everywhere he goes other than the Eagles, he just seems like he fails. So give me Andy Dalton. You know, the fire in Chicago, keep that going. You know, it gets cold. Let Andy Dalton bring the heat.
Oh, there's the tagline. Love it. My joke was, let whoever go to Chicago, but give me a trade of Mitch Trubisky to Tampa Bay. I want Mitch Trubisky in a Bruce Arians offense. Born for it. Like, there was two people made for Bruce Arians' offense. The first one was Jay Cutler.
And why would you put that on Evans and Godwin?
Because he will just close his eyes and throw the ball, and that's what
you
need for Evans.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that evil on me.
Man, like, their defense is still so bad, they're going to have to throw the ball 800 times. And I think we've seen
good
what a bad quarterback can do with it, so it's fine. It won't happen because no one's going to trade for Trubisky or anything, but I would love to see him end up with Bruce Arians. To me, that would be perfect.
Unless Chicago needs toilet paper, Trubisky is staying. Trubisky for some toilet paper on the team.
They'd have to get that deal done fast before this whole virus thing ends. And
hand sanitizer thrown in.
Dude, that's asking too much. Too much.
I know. That's way too much.
So, Brian, now that you're back with us, you didn't tell us when or where you were going, so we went to more boring news.
Sorry.
You had to check that temperature. Got to keep on checking, man.
Yeah, I was just making sure everything was okay.
So how do you feel about the Bears talking to Andy Dalton and Nick Foles about coming in as someone who was one of the bigger Trubisky believers?
Yeah, so I don't think that Foles is going there. Personally,
I don't think they want him to go there.
I don't either. but Dalton, I mean, Dalton would be okay there. I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind seeing Teddy Bridgewater up there either. But you know, as a guy to compete. But I think he's probably not going there either. He's probably going to go somewhere where he's clear cut number one guy at this point. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks a little bit certainly for Trubisky. But, I mean, when you play like he's played, you kind of got to expect they're going to bring somebody else in, right? I mean, they traded all that draft capital to move up to two to get him, and he hasn't turned into the place. Yeah, I mean, he has, you know, and you look at the guys that were drafted behind him, Holmes, you know, and it,
Watson.
Yeah, exactly. So Lamar Jackson. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's just, yeah. So, I just don't think the Bears are happy with their return on investment, and I mean, I would be pissed too, to be honest. I mean,
all right. So John Hogue is slacking, and we are still on February DLF ADP, and Mitchell Trubisky is QB 31 underneath the likes of many rookies, underneath Derek Carr, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger.
Give me all of them.
Yeah. We just did the TradeAddicts 8 draft. We're finishing it up right now. Trubisky went QB 23 at pick 809.
To me.
Underneath Gardner Minshew and right before Dwayne Haskins.
To me.
Oh, I'd rather have Haskins. I'd rather have Gardner. I'd rather have Gardner Minshew by far. I think people are still sleeping on Minshew. Like, I really like Gardner Minshew.
It's funny. The day started with the news of the Jags looking to trade Foles, and then right away, the pick of Gardner Minshew happened. It was just like magical serendipity.
I remember being in a draft, and I actually thought about Minshew over Jimmy Garoppolo.
I thought about it. I picked Jimmy Garoppolo in this draft.
And I did too in my draft. So, but yeah, it felt close.
I mean, it was only a total of it was like two rounds, but like I wanted Drew Lock, but didn't try hard enough to trade up the pick to someone I knew that was going to take him.
Oh,
so I was staring at what?
I love Drew Lock.
Yeah, I kind of wish I tried harder now, but I was looking at Garoppolo, Minshew, Haskins, and Trubisky, the next few people that went, and I was just like, I don't believe the crap going about San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo's their quarterback. That's fine. Yeah. So let me just take him because I know he has a more solid position than Trubisky does. And now that I see that going on, I'm glad.
Yeah, imagine them getting Jerry Jeudy at 13 or CeeDee Lamb at 13. How nice does Jimmy G look then?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So here's the thing about Garoppolo, though. They can cut him for like no money
this year.
Yeah.
They can cut him for
they're not going to do it this year, but $4.2 million in dead cap this year, $2.8 next year, and $1.4 in 2022. So if they don't like what they see, or if they can get Tom Brady to come like we thought they were going to do and decided not to do, chose not to do, you know, they can move on from him.
Take those easily. Two firsts, move up to grab Herbert. Throw us all off.
Yeah.
Good.
The Shanahan doesn't care who plays quarterback or running back for his team.
Yeah, that's very true. So let's hope it stays Garoppolo for my one share's sake. All right. So let's get to the good. Let's get to the good stuff.
What happened? I have no idea what happened.
Hayden Hurst got traded to the Atlanta Falcons, guys. All right. Well, I mean, I said it out loud, so we're just going to talk about it now.
I was going to say.
Like, I mean, this is, I think, good for both parties involved. I got to be honest.
Hold on. We have somebody in the chat that said Diggs to the Bills.
Hold it.
No.
Yep. It's true.
Oh my,
Diggs to the Bills.
Okay. First, per Jake Glazer. First of all, I love how Stefon Diggs had become the cryptic tweet king. I was about to say on Twitter, but that's the only place you could be a tweet king. You know, he just threw out the thinking emoji today, you know, stuff's going to be new. And then some things, and he's done this for the past 3 years, but now to Buffalo, I mean, don't get me wrong. That's not terrible, but it doesn't fit
what Josh Allen is.
I mean, he's fast, but he's just a better route runner than he needs to be at this point. Like, I really just figured they would draft Ruggs and call it a day.
I wonder what they gave up. That's my thing. Because Diggs has a very manageable contract. I think he's going to make 13 or 14 mil a year, which isn't bad for, quote unquote, a wide receiver one. But I just, I mean, Skip is in the chat and he's from Minnesota, and I'm actually happy about it because I thought Diggs was such a drama queen. Like, he was getting borderline Odell Beckham style here and there.
Yeah, but he's just as good of a route runner as Odell Beckham. He's a better route runner than Odell
That's
Beckham.
That's great. But if you know Zimmer, he is a no-nonsense, you get that out of my face type coach. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think Ola BC Johnson can fit in very nice in this offense. He showed flashes. And if you weren't buying him for like a fourth or a third, I mean, you can't get him now.
Bills
unless they
are
draft
trading a first round pick, a fifth round pick, a sixth round pick, and a 21 fourth.
Wow.
For Stephon Diggs and a seventh.
I love it. I love it for Minnesota.
Good for the Vikings.
Absolutely.
I love Diggs too, but I mean,
even if he just wanted a one for one, the wide receiver you can get in the 20s of this draft is going to be very good.
Think if they got Jefferson. Justin Jefferson. Would you rather have Jefferson on a rookie deal, or would you have Stephon Diggs, who is starting to butt heads in the locker room, or kind of be a problem? Like, that could happen, or they go, I don't know, who else can go on that line? Like T. Higgins, they could use a big body type guy.
I will take that.
Yeah, I'm a T. Higgins fan, so
I'm
like
a huge
that.
T. Higgins fan. I am team Clemson big wide receiver, so I'm all about it. Oh, man, that's nuts.
Yeah. Whew. God, receivers getting moved. And I thought running backs didn't matter. I mean.
It's funny. Chip Kelly was like the worst thing that happened to the NFL, but he was also the best. He started this. Like,
yeah,
he was the first one's like, I don't care. I'm just moving players because I feel like it. And everyone's like, wait, you can move players in the NFL? You could do that? You're allowed to?
And the worst is when you see Madden trades. Like, the Madden wouldn't even do it. Have you tried to trade in Madden? You can't do anything in that game unless you give up all your picks. Like, that's a huge thing.
Wow. Okay. So,
my brain. shout out to Bill in the Trade Addicts 3 chat. Super duper flex. How does that happen? But Hopkins gets moved for a foot massage.
Yeah, that's Bill O'Brien sitting there like, we got David Johnson. I don't care.
Yeah.
Do you think Arizona sent David Johnson tape of like 2017? And like, here's this training workout we just had. And then it's like, I got fans everywhere. Wait, I thought everybody was on lockdown. No, that was yesterday. That just happened, Bill.
And they moved a decimal point over for his salary. No, yeah. They only owe him like $200,000. It's great. Yeah.
And then after the fact, oh, shoot, our bad.
Yeah. Oops. Sorry, guys. Oh, the ink's already dry. Too late. We can't do anything about it.
Shucks.
Okay. So let's. Oh, man. I don't even know how to rein this one back in.
You know what, though? So looking at the Diggs trade, though. So it looks on the surface like the Bills paid a lot for Diggs. And I think they did. They gave up compensation.
You should.
A lot of compensation. They should. And the second thing is, when you look at the context of this, in terms of the Bills traded a first round pick for another like Pro Bowl wide receiver a season and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make out in this compared to what they would have had to deal with. With Antonio Brown, had he gone to Buffalo. So,
and also look at it in this context. The Bills pick is in the 20s. The Arizona pick, their second round pick, is early. Is what, pick 38 or 39 or so? So they're actually not too far apart if you look at it in that aspect.
No, not going to look at it in that aspect. No, that's...
Because you're mean. Because you're mean.
No, there's just no... trying to rationalize what Bill O'Brien did, but we're not there yet. One thing at a time. Does anybody actually care fantasy football wise about Hayden Hurst at this point?
Yeah, now I do. I'm going to have to say yes.
Like more than like a third just for the hell of it?
Yeah.
Like you actually think he's going to be a
tight end premium
option?
Yeah. They gave up a second for him. A second round pick. Like
that's just because the Ravens made the mistake of spending a first on him in the first place. They couldn't take less.
But he was no question the tight end one on a lot of people's draft boards. Like, I'm not talking about fantasy because Mark Andrews was mine forever.
Yeah.
But for fantasy, for the NFL aspect, Hayden Hurst was the tight end one. and it wasn't even close. Like, he was a huge riser. People absolutely loved him in NFL circles. I think we saw flashes last year. Like, didn't he have like a huge 60-yard touchdown towards the end of the year? Like, he did some good things. He only had, what I see, 10% of the routes of the passing. It was like 10% of the passing chunks of Lamar Jackson. So he didn't get the opportunities. And I think with Atlanta, he's going to just step in right into Austin Hooper's role, be that pass-catching tight end. He is more athletic than Hooper, but I don't think he has the nuance that Hooper has as a tight end. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Hooper's really good at finding the pockets and zone, really good at getting behind the linebackers and just kind of sneak in 10, 15 yards here and there. Hayden Hurst, I think, will start to learn that. And once I get in connection with Matt Ryan, since they are the same age, 34 years old, I think it'll come easy to him. But honest to God, I like Hayden Hurst. And like we are seen in the chat by James, this tight end class sucks. And I agree. And I think with the deal to Atlanta, I'd rather have him than any other tight end in this class.
Okay. I mean, James and you, when you put it like that, I get it more. He looks good when he was out there. That is fair, Hurst. The fact that he didn't really get that much of an opportunity is a little, I don't know.
That's because Andrews is better. Andrews is a way better player. And I think, yeah. like when they drafted the same year, like we said on DHH, like they drafted Hayden Hurst and then his heir apparent in the third round.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Ozzie Newsome needed to leave his tight end mark on the books on that one. That was his last draft.
Yeah. I think he drafted 6 and he only had 5 picks.
They let him have it. Sure. Goodbye present. Yeah. Okay. So, that's enough about Hayden Hurst. Let's talk about Stephon Diggs for a second.
How something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen. Something happened, all right. What does this do to his value for you? I mean, his value was so weird in the first place. Are you happy he's in Buffalo? Or is it bad for him?
I don't know, because you go ahead, Brian, because I got to kind of meld this in my brain about...
Yeah, fresh start. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's a fresh start for him. So if it clears his head and it gets him back to playing the way he's played in Minnesota at times, then yes, I like it for him. I mean, I don't – and look, yeah, Josh Allen throwing the ball is interesting at times. But, I mean, we'll just have to see. I mean, it's one of those things we'll have to see. We'll have to see what type of connection they make. I mean, initially I'm not overly excited. That's not the best. It's not like, oh my God, Diggs went to
Washington and or not Washington, but 49ers was big.
Right. Or
that would work.
Yeah. I mean, something like that where it's like no brainer, like this definitely upgrades his value. I don't really know. I don't know what this one does yet. We're going to kind of have to wait it out and see. The one thing that Josh Allen can do really, really well, and I know they already have a receiver on the other side that's capable of doing this, but he can throw the ball very, very, very far. Now, it doesn't always go where he wants it to.
You didn't have enough fairies in there.
I mean, the dude has a cannon. So, you know, and Diggs has that speed to be able to, you know, I mean, that's pretty much all he did in Minnesota this year was the deep ball, right? I mean, he caught the majority of the fantasy games because I had him a number of places. Lot of games where he was under 50 yards and then he would have 150 yards because he had 270 yard bomb, you know? So he does that well. Josh Allen throws a nice long ball, or he at least throws it far. You know, so I don't know. I'm going to have to, this is going to be one. I think we're going to have to wait and kind of just see what develops there, but I don't hate it for the Bills. You know, they go out and get a player who has a history of success in the league versus one who doesn't. You know, I mean, they were mocked to draft a receiver there, like we've been saying, you know, maybe a Ruggs or a player like that. Now they have a receiver that has done it in the National Football League. So, you know, they might have paid a little more. You know, there's some other draft capital in there along with the first to be able to to be able to do this, but it takes a little bit of the risk away of not knowing exactly what you're going to get with that rookie that's never played in the league. So, you know, we'll see what happens with it, but I'm not overly like, oh my gosh, this is awesome for Diggs, but I don't hate it either.
I will tell you, I was just thinking, I love it for Devin Singletary. It's going to really push defenses back with the two speedsters on the outside. And you got Dawson Knox in the middle now, who also is, I feel like I'm becoming a Buffalo fan because I'm a huge fan of Josh Allen and what he is as a quarterback and kind of his growth. And I think he is going to take more and more steps. So I like it, but I think it's more even than what people think. Cause Kirk Cousins, I thought fit Diggs well. Diggs ran the route tree like a ballet dancer. He was fantastic at it. Very smooth. His routes were probably one of the best in the league. And Josh Allen, his medium accuracy is getting better. Can it improve this year? Yes. But I do think that Devin Singletary can improve with all of this movement. I mean, they have a good offensive line, an improving offensive line still with some youth on there, with Cody Ford at right tackle, still getting better each year. Yeah, I mean, I just think this kind of completes the offense for the Bills. And I honestly think the Bills probably saw this and said this could be the missing puzzle piece for our offense. And this is what we need. We need a true alpha one, John Brown as our two, and he doesn't need to take the number one coverage. Dawson Knox in year two improves. Singletary, I have a feeling Singletary is going to be a 1,000-yard rusher easily. And that's I mean, I could be the only one, but man, he showed me a lot this year. I know James on the chat saying Howard rumored to Buffalo. I mean, that didn't hurt Miles Sanders at all. So I'm not scared of that. I would actually kind of like that. They'd pair well together. But yeah, I think the Bills are doing the right thing. They're getting that for sure receiver rather than taking a guy that is unknown. And I think this could work out for them. And Josh Allen, I think his, like we're going to talk about with another quarterback, a young quarterback taking a huge rise for super flex value. I think Josh Allen's another one that just boosted in value.
All right. So nice foreshadowing, nice transition. Let's just bring it right to it. And no, this is not a dynasty trade. This was in the real NFL. Oh, the Houston Texans and the Arizona Cardinals did a trade. DeAndre frickin' Hopkins and a fourth round pick for David frickin' Johnson and a second round pick.
You got to put it as an early second in the calculator. Otherwise, you're not going to get the true value.
No, 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 no.
So when you saw Pro Football Talk post rumors for Hopkins, it was one of those things where you didn't even beat an eye at it. You're just like, okay, whatever.
Third year in a row, right before the league opens, there's teams believe DeAndre Hopkins is on the trading block. And every year you're just like, no, okay, whatever, move on. We could not just move on this year.
Oh, man. I mean, in that air raid offense, man.
I get it. 100% this makes sense for Arizona. At the price, it's wonderful. Getting Hopkins is wonderful because a lot of the mock drafts we were seeing had just been showing CeeDee Lamb in the first. They didn't give up their first for Hopkins. They get Hopkins and they have Hopkins and they have Hopkins. And
the worst part is they had CeeDee as a first round pick to Arizona, and everybody's like, well, they need to draft offensive linemen. Well, you got one of the best receivers in the league, didn't give up your first. Now you can draft one of the better offensive tackles in the draft. And you pretty much shored up two spots that are huge needs for your team. Keim turned out to be a genius in this deal. Like I told you guys,
so long where it just finally he's like,
yeah,
all right, long con over. Let's do this.
Yeah. We talked about it. It seems like the league is looking at the Texans, and it's like having that owner in a dynasty league that you know you can kind of fleece a little bit. Like, oh, I could get a better deal from him than I could anywhere else. And it seems like O'Brien is that guy, the guy that like, hey, I got this player, David Johnson. I mean, did you see what he did 2 years ago? He could have won MVP. You got Will Fuller as a really good stud wide receiver behind Hopkins. You don't need Hopkins. How about this? I will give you my early second round pick in a fantastic draft with David Johnson. And you give me technically your wide receiver two in DeAndre Hopkins, because Will Fuller is the wide receiver one. How about you give me Hopkins and I'll sweeten it up. Say you're dealing with Riley and you give him a fourth as well. Yeah. And boom, deal.
All right. So let's break this down piece by piece. Clearly, this is good for Kyler. I mean, no question, good for Kyler. How good for Kyler? Well, we have to look at both sides of this. This is going to drop Watson in QB rankings. He was my QB2 easily.
Yeah, same
and
here.
I think he's probably 4-ish now. Like, the Texans are going to have to draft a wide receiver.
Are they? They have a ton of money, and Amari Cooper is still out there. First thought when they traded Hopkins was Cooper's going to he's not going to go far. He's going to stay in Texas. He's going to go to Houston.
Well, damn. When you put it that way, that sounds nice. But still, like,
so Russ, who's in front of him for you? If you move Watson to four, who's in front
Watkins,
of him?
Jesus, he switched spots. He switched positions.
Right? He might be more valuable there in super flex league.
That's true. That is very true.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know how to value Deshaun Watson. Like, at this given point in time, is those the right words? I think that's the right words.
Wait for the other moves. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, wait for more moves.
He literally, I know you're a big Will Fuller fan, and you were half joking with that Will Fuller being the wide receiver.
I'm probably one of the biggest Will Fuller fans you guys will ever meet. And I know Skip is in the chat. He still might be. And Skip and I have been working on a Will Fuller deal in Pigs 3 for a while, and he asked me, so how do you like Will Fuller now? And I'm like, I'm gonna be honest with you, not a fan. I love Will Fuller, but if he's getting the main coverage, I mean, yeah, Jacksonville has no corners anymore, so that's great. They played them twice here, but Colts have a good defense. And then, man, I'm forgetting the other team in that division for some reason. Titans. They're a great defense. So yeah, Will Fuller, if he's the one, that's not going to look so pretty. And Kiki QT, people are saying trade for him. You should have traded. No. I mean, the four games he plays where you can use him, I don't want to use him.
He was a healthy scratch at the end of the year. I mean, I think that boat has sailed.
Yeah, but like I was just saying, wait for more moves, Russ. You are a big Watson fan. I think Houston is just, honestly, this could be O'Brien saying, hey, we get our running back and we can sign Amari Cooper.
Okay, you,
Robbie Anderson.
I appreciate what you've just done for me, because I was spiraling on Watson. I wasn't going to do anything about it.
I don't to shame yourself.
But
okay, so I have an idea.
All right. This is rare, everybody. Hold the phone.
That's why I froze, because I'm just like, okay, where's this going?
What if the Texans play DJ at wide receiver?
Like, I remember this happening where there were
Duke
3
Johnson?
Years ago.
I mean, it could
happen. Duke Johnson looked a hell of a lot better than DJ did running the football last year. Almost
that's completely true.
They can just switch which DJ plays wide receiver and which is played running back.
That's true.
Can we actually give a huge plus to David Johnson on this trade? Like, his value spiked for me in this trade. I love him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty easy.
I think Mike Clay, I like Mike Clay's work and what he does. Mike Clay had him for like 38 catches. He's going above that. That is a floor for me. That's an infinite floor.
Watson was never one for throwing to the running back, though.
He's going to start he's got one of the better pass catching backs.
And also, if they don't sign Cooper, then they have no one else to throw to, because, well, hopefully you get a game where either QT or Fuller are healthy. I will never ask Kala for both at the same time.
Kala Wala Hala Warring coming back from tight end.
The idea of Kahale Warring was wonderful at the time.
Doug has got Arnold, or what is it? Arthur Fist at you and his house.
No, I have a ton of Kahalo Warring shares. Don't get me wrong, but he just disappeared as quickly as he showed up. But okay, hold on. Let's go back. What does this do for DeAndre Hopkins' value? Is he your wide? He was, I'll assume, a top three wide receiver for everybody. Is he still?
Yeah, he is.
For me. Air raid system. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't change.
Yeah, I think he's gonna have more targets. And wow. And like Larry Fitzgerald gets to teach him what Hopkins doesn't know. Like Larry Fitzgerald could honestly.
Holy oh God. Crap.
Cooper just signed in Dallas. So did forget that really the Cooper. Just happened?
Wow. Yes, it did. 5-year, $100 million deal.
Where'd they get this money from? I get they let Byron Jones walk, but.
They're not going to be able to pay Dak, is what's going to happen.
Nope.
Or they're going to trade Ezekiel Elliott, one of the two.
For who? For I don't know. Todd Gurley?
Draft
for Todd Gurley, get a little money back. Oh man. Oh, my brain. So yeah, talking about Watson now. Let's talk about the Amari Cooper not being there now.
Robbie Anderson? Like is that supposed to make me happy?
I mean they already have Will him. Fuller. They already have Will Fuller.
Oh man. Like this show is just taking such a turn.
So yeah, Watson is definitely dropping. For me, because I was actually hoping Cooper, unless there's a receiver that we don't know about, like maybe Keenan Allen gets traded to Houston. And maybe
they embrace the tank. Okay, let's.
What if Mike Evans goes to Houston? Because always talks about Mike Evans getting traded. I don't know anymore. I don't even know who I am.
Okay, let's play the game. Clearly, Lamar and Mahomes are still up there on their own. Deshaun Watson or Kyler Murray, who is the QB4?
I still want Watson.
I'm taking Kyler.
Oh man,
you and 82% of people on that poll today after the Hopkins trade.
I'm going to go Kyler just because. I mean, Watson and Hopkins had a connection. And that is undeniable. And that is so many targets gone. And who are they going to? Like, I know David Johnson's going to get his targets, but where are they getting this other weapon from? They don't have a first-round pick. Laremy Tunsil isn't going to go out there and run routes. I mean, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, they have to spend both of those second-round picks and have good receivers fall. Get me T. Higgins and Jalen Reagor, and I'll be okay. Then
Reagor could be a great option in the second round.
I mean, Higgins will probably be gone by then, but that's the replace big Clemson wide receiver with big Clemson wide receiver, and that's the only way I'll feel good about it.
Yeah, I mean, what is Martavis Bryant doing nowadays?
Hey, weed's not illegal in the league anymore.
It's not.
Bring him back.
But another receiver that I wouldn't mind there, but is definitely not Hopkins, is DeMarcus Robinson. Super cheap. He's an athletic freak. He's about the same size as Hopkins. He's not the same player. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, yeah, he's like, we're comparing everybody to Hopkins and it's just not getting better. That's the issue. You look at Kyler, he's got Christian Kirk. He's got Hopkins. He's got Larry Fitzgerald. He's got Andy Isabella just running 9 routes all day.
Okay, so Deshaun Watson or, now that we know this, Dak Prescott?
Watson.
I think I'm going to go Watson there. Just because if Dallas isn't showing faith in Dak, and they can't sign him now. Like, they have no cap, it seems.
The thing that would keep me Watson right now is the fact that you can't feel safe.
I mean, Houston has to sign Watson next year, don't they? I mean, they have to.
Maybe
they signed him last year.
Did they?
They did, okay.
Can Dallas trade Dak? I mean, I guess they can. They franchised him, right?
Yeah, they can.
So that's another option too, for them to like be able to actually have other players on their roster. Because if they, you know what I mean, I know they have a ton of cap space too, but they don't. I mean,
send him to when Miami paying, for the fifth overall pick. How much would Miami would change after that?
They probably would do that.
They have all of a sudden like the best secondary in the league. So
they have
not
one of the
right.
best defenses in the league. Like I'm looking at them for like DSTs and I'm like, damn, they could be a top 8 team.
so weird. Like, I don't know whether to applaud or shrug at how they're running this team, but like, I think they might turn it around very quickly, and no one saw this coming.
Oh man, like Miami's getting better. Houston is getting worse, and like one of our favorite offenses to look at for fantasy, Houston, is now turned into like a oh damn, like we love the quarterback, but where's everything else? Where's everything else coming from? Like David Johnson, like I said, I think he's going to have a resurgence. I don't think it's going to be quite 2017, but it's going to be better than last year, which is nothing. So,
yeah, like there has to be, there's a move. There's a move somewhere that has to happen, except you have Sal Lito's year.
Odell Beckham Jr. goes to Houston.
That would be nice. Your Big Spoon's tweet of we're out here playing checkers and Bill O'Brien doesn't know how to play checkers.
Doesn't know how to play is one of the best tweets I've seen today.
So yeah, I do like it feels like there has to be something somewhere worked out ready to happen, but my faith in rational coaching, no less rational Bill O'Brien GMing, is out the freaking window. I do not expect anything. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is okay. Like having your 12-year-old take over your Madden franchise and just destroy it.
Yeah, that's what it feels
like. And he would still do a better job than Bill O'Brien.
Okay, so Kyler up, Nuke at least the same, if not up, just because of that offense and how much they're going to be throwing the ball. DJ up because anything's better than the way it was. Kenyon Drake got transitions tagged.
Yeah.
I have to cough. Someone talk about what that means.
It means that they get to put money on him. If I'm right, it means they get to put a contract on him. And then, that's a tender. Yeah, I'm not.
Someone was explaining that it was pretty much they get to match. And if someone else takes him, it's just nowhere near the compensation, or they don't get any compensation.
Okay, so they can give him a contract, and then a team can match it, and then they don't get anything for it.
They get first rights. If someone else tries to sign him, they get
Arizona gets to match it. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's a pretty good deal for them. I mean, they can pretty much see what he's worth, and then if he only gets $8 million a year, they're like, all right, we're perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
I mean, yeah, value's way up on him.
Up for Drake too. So man, like, this was weird as hell in real life, but apparently very good for fantasy.
And he's going to have a stud left tackle come in with the 8th overall pick that Arizona uses and just bolster that offensive line. That was trash. So, I mean, everything gets better in Arizona. Everything. Unless Isaiah Simmons comes in and ruins that logic and gets drafted by Arizona, which would be fine for the defense. So, I mean, it's a win-win.
Man, that's... Okay, we're going to move on because I feel like just me just going okay and oh man and just is not good podcasting.
Three receivers today just making bank, getting traded and getting traded. Like, oh man.
What else? Definitively, the Bears signed Jimmy Graham and still nobody cares.
Nope, don't care.
Marcus Mariota signed to the Vegas Raiders, which A, I remember to say Vegas Raiders, which makes me happy, and B, that's a takeable job. And that makes me happy as a Mariota fan.
Now, are you sad by reading Vegas and knowing that the draft won't be in Vegas?
I wasn't going. I don't care.
I feel bad for a lot of people because I knew a couple people that were going to it, and yes, that sounded extremely fun. And it would have been so awesome to watch them getting floated out on a boat.
And you know, I said I kind of feel bad for the kids that don't get to go up to the podium and hold their jersey. And of course, Bosch comes in with they'll find a way to dry their eyes with all of their dollar bills they get from signing in the first round.
So,
which I called him a jaded jerk.
So I told my wife, I said, you know what they should do? They should buy a draft board and then do it fantasy football style.
Oh, bring my up God, that'd be so cool.
Bring up a sticker. Post it up on the team, say, okay, I'm going to take Joe Burrow one, and just see him try to like make that sticker perfect. How everybody does it in fantasy draft, you're like, I need to get it perfect. I got a little OCD. And then when you don't get it perfect, you sit there and you look at the board and you're like, oh, that's going to bug me all day. That's going to, Tyler, it's your pick. What? Okay. And then you're just staring at that one sticker that's not on. That's me. That's just me. But
and then when Burrow tanks, you're like, I knew it. That sticker didn't go on straight. It was a sign.
The sticker was crooked.
But okay, so is there any value in Mariota? Like, are you going to try and trade for Mariota right now? And
no,
think he actually has a chance? No,
give me week one. I will try trade for Mariota when he is on the bench behind Carr for the first couple weeks.
Smart man. I mean, if I can give up a mid second right now for Mariota, I think I do it.
I think you might be able, in draft. I think you might be able to get like an early third for him.
Really?
In draft, because people want, like, say it's end of the second and that player's falling. People are going to be like, oh man, I need to get that player. And they got the shakes. There's, oh, I need to get that guy. And yeah, I mean, you could just be like, give me Mariota for the 302 and you can have your guy.
I like, I'm going to hold back and try and do that once because.
For once. I'm going to try to do that once.
Yeah. Patience is not my virtue.
I'm going to try to do cocaine once, but we'll see what happens.
Oh. I miss Robin Williams. Brian, you're being very quiet. Any feelings on any of the things we just talked about?
I mean, I have feelings, but I don't know that they're much different from the feelings that have been discussed. So I won't bore everybody saying the same stuff.
You should have me on more often. I kind of stopped Brian from talking.
I'm sure Russ likes that.
And I can't, everybody who is listening to that podcast, Brian has a microphone and he's got a blue, almost like a laser pen pointed right between his eyes.
The light is insane. We have the same microphone. I turn mine so it's out of the way.
I can't understand it.
It's awful.
Is that better?
Like, you could see it like right
here. Is that better?
I was so worried for Brian because I thought there was a sniper trying to get him this whole entire time because it was right between his eyes, like right between the eyes. So I'm just happy Brian's okay. There's nobody trying to get him. I know he left for a while. He's been coughing. Maybe somebody's trying to take him out because he's got coronavirus. Thank God that's not the case. But yeah.
I do not.
Brian is safe, everybody. The president is safe.
You hear that? He called you the president. How's that make you feel? Speechless. All right. So Tyler, you're the guest. Do you want to do some Trade Addicts trades or some listener questions?
You know what? You're the host. You decide. Don't try to put that on me.
Okay, so let's ask this good question first. What the hell, Brian? You're not paying attention. You're not speaking. Do listener questions.
Listener questions!
There you go. I just need to feel to get you involved a little bit.
Appreciate it.
Brian Hooten, at Fishing for a Win. Shout out TA8. He wants to know, well, he asked, what the hell are the Texans doing? But I don't think anyone knows, so we're just going to skip over that part. Also, what is the number one wings and pizza combo to you?
The number one wing sauce in the entire world is Sweet Thai Chili from Otto's Pub and Brewery in State College, Pennsylvania. It's freaking outstanding. Pizza-wise, I just would go with like traditional pepperoni.
As a combo. As a combo. You're eating these two things together.
Wings and pizza. Yeah. Do you not do that?
Same day. Well, no, like you got to have the flavors mixed. Like you got to have, like, I like Asian Zing. It's good stuff. I like B-dubs. But man, if I'm having pizza, give me that original hot buffalo. Because I like buffalo sauce with pizza.
Yeah. See, what kind of pizza, though? Like, is it like, you know, you're saying the original hot buffalo sauce for the wings.
Yeah, but it has to be spicy hot. Because then when you get the pizza kind of cools it down, the dough.
Makes sense. Sure.
And then, but I also like fresh jalapenos on my pizza.
Ooh.
So fresh jalapenos on pizza. They have to be fresh.
Spicy man.
Get that pickled stuff out of here. They got to be fresh. And give me fresh jalapeno, pepperoni, and red onions.
Yeesh. Red onions.
I'm out. I don't do
onions. I'm trying this pizza at some point.
It's delicious.
See, the first thing that came to my mind is pretty much what everyone brought up already. Like, give me, I'm not as much of a spicy person. I'm a little bit of a wimp when it comes to it. So I was going to say, like, medium buffalo with pepperoni, because you don't necessarily get a break from the spicy, because pepperoni has that little bit of kick. Medium.
This guy. Right, Brian?
Yeah.
Or what I think also works, give me garlic parmesan wings and sausage pizza.
That's a good combo. If I was going strictly wings, give me mango habanero from B-Dubs, because that stuff is so good, but it is undeniably spicy to the point where, like, have you eaten something so spicy but so good that you just keep eating and you're like, I got to keep eating, yep, and the pain's going to keep coming? Like, I love that.
No, I have not. That has never happened to me.
You got tears in your eyes, but it's like, it's a great pain. You guys aren't spicy fans?
Not that much.
Yeah, no, I do a little, but not the tier.
I have a friend up here, big guy. Looks like he played D tackle for the Ravens. He orders 20 some blazing wings at B-Dubs and takes them down like they're mild. And to this day, I still talk to him. I'm like, man, that was probably one of the biggest things where I was like watching the ninth wonder of the world do. Like, I was like, is this guy doing this? Is this real? Like, he had no milk, just water, and he's just sipping the water like it's nothing. Took him down. And I'm
sure he has taste buds.
Like, I don't think he has any intestines left.
That is also another.
I can't believe that.
I sat next to someone who was eating like the wings you have to sign a waiver for.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked one up. It burned my fingers. I got maybe 6 inches from my mouth, and it was so spicy. I felt it and had to put it down. That's how spicy it was. I got close to my mouth, and it was too spicy for me.
I think I want to say the spiciest thing I have had is there's these, they're like picante chips, and they're they're screaming ghost pepper chips.
Nasty. It's legit like fire in your and face.
The chips are great tasting. They're so good.
But like three seconds later,
my mouth, bad news. My mouth is still recovering, and it's been like a month and a half. See, I'm like that. Like, even my wife actually got me into the super spicy stuff, and we have not looked back. We love spicy stuff. We try to get spicier every chance we can get.
See, my wife is the kind of person where some milds are too spicy for her.
I have a friend at work that thinks ketchup is a little tangy and spicy.
I don't even know what that means. That
I have my habanero hot sauce I make tacos with at work, and he just looks at me like I'm insane. As he's like, I can't do hot peppers, like how hot peppers on pizza, bring it back to the pizza thing. He thinks that's insanely hot. So yeah, I mean, opposite sides of the spectrum is insane.
Crushed red pepper on some sausage pizza is my
amazing. Way. Amazing. Yeah.
Actually, I had that today. We had Sicilian pizza, square pizza. I don't know if people call the same things in other places, or if that's just a Jersey/New York thing anyway, but meatball pizza, and then I put garlic, parmesan, and crushed red pepper.
Yeah,
it was wonderful.
But
besides the fact I haven't really eaten bread in like forever, so it was even better. But
my question for you, when you put cheese on pizza, are you going just parmesan, or are you going parmesan romano asiago?
I would if I had it. Don't get me wrong. I only had just straight parmesan, but if I had that, name a cheese. I'll throw it on my pizza. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's cheese. This is wonderful.
Asiago cheese is probably one of my favorite cheeses of all time.
Yes. That's a lie. I don't like blue cheese.
I love blue cheese.
I don't.
I like blue cheese on burgers. Love it. Nope. It's the best topping on a burger.
That is a conversation for another show, because we would be here for way too long, and Brian just left again, and he's good for this conversation. Okay, well, let's move on to, I don't know if you know this guy, at Skip Newton 31.
It's Newtown.
He wants to know, what are you going to do with Will Fuller now, buy, sell, or hold?
Well, I think I'm going to hold. And unless you can get a first-round pick,
probably not going to.
Yeah. Or if you could get, $70 for him in Pigs 3.
I saw 75 definitely earlier in the chat.
Yeah, that's what he's been aiming for, and we've been going back and forth. But I think I'd do 70, Skip. So why don't you send that over, Skip?
Skip. Worst thing is, do it too much. He's not answering. He must have left
the chat. And then I just need to call Shane and tell him to just scream trade alert if it happened.
Oh, man. I hope they're recording tonight, because the amount he'd be screaming just about the real NFL would be nuts.
Yeah. Shane's gonna have a heart attack with all the stuff that's happening.
Put that evil on him. Jeez.
No, we need Shane around.
Yes, absolutely, man. Whew. Oh, there's Skip.
He replied, $70, Skip.
Okay, yeah, here we go. Let's jump into a trade addicts trade.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, no, we can't because Brian's not here to do the sound. So let's do another listener question. What is Chris from at Beryl Joffrey? What is the Chris Carson line in terms of pick value? And where are all the boredom slash quarantine trades in his leagues? Give that 2 days and that will absolutely kick in and trades will be going nuts.
Or why don't you start it? You start it off. You start these trades.
Yeah, man. Come on. Offer me something. I'm in what? I think 2 leagues with you. Give me something. Come on.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah,
but Chris Carson, last week we had Dr. Ethan Turner on the show, which I unfortunately wasn't here for, but put in a listener question about Chris Carson. And he firmly believes that start of season, Chris Carson should be 100% healthy.
What about by week six?
So do you think, let's say you have a league where you only have to start one running back. How do you feel safe coming into the league, into the season with him as your starting running back?
No. Just because I think they're going to add somebody, you know, let it be a Carlos Hyde or something like that, somebody lower end. They're going to add another running back. I mean, Penny.
AJ Dillon in the first. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
Jeez, if that happens. It's
awful when they're going to do it.
That is so Pete Carroll.
Yep.
That is a Pete Carroll move. And
I'm going to.
I can't see it in the first. I mean, I don't think Pete Carroll's that dumb.
Well, 2 years Even ago, though, says otherwise.
Yeah, I was going to say, 2 years ago. But in the second, AJ Dillon to the Seahawks, could happen.
It will happen, but that's...
And honestly, I think Carson, for the line, a late second is what I'd feel okay with giving if I was in the situation where I needed a running back two. Let's let that be... I said running back two, not a running back one. And if he was my RB2, I'd give up a late second in this draft. I mean, this draft is very deep, and that is your biggest selling point on giving up one of these picks is just being like, hey, this draft is deep. I don't like giving this up for this player that has unknown injuries. I mean, you could sell the other person on trading you Chris Carson for cheaper easily right now.
Yeah, I got terrified when I saw all the tweets going up about Todd Gurley being involved in trade talks, and because I knew the Seahawks are giving up their first. They're wasting their first again. It's just what they're going to do.
Todd Gurley with the Seahawks would be great. I mean, I would like it. I think they'll throw the ball to him more.
Hopefully, I mean, I don't. Yeah, but they'll spend too much. Like, he's owed a ton of money. You're going to have to spend a first. They'll probably end up giving him a first anyway because. I mean, John Schneider used to be good, but I don't know what the hell happened. And just, I like the idea of it, but I think in reality, it would be awful.
Pete Carroll has his mind wrapped around like 8 years ago for prices. So he's like, man, that price for a running back, that's cheap. Sign me up.
Yeah. All right, Brian, start talking. How do you feel about Chris Carson? What do you think his value is right now?
I think his value is lower than his production will be. Just like it is every single non-point scoring season since he's been in the league. You know, this year's a little bit different with the injury. I think, you know, this is a pretty serious injury. But at the same time, you know, based on kind of what Ethan was talking about last week on the show and whatnot, I think, I mean, I loved Carson. The only difference from Carson this year versus last year outside of the injuries is age, right? He's another year older at the running back position. That always drives player values down. So, I mean, I still, if he was my only running back, no, I don't feel confident because of the injury. But if he's my RB2, I feel fine. I feel fine.
Yeah.
With him as my RB2.
All right. So what you're telling me in the Dynasty Diagnostic Listener League, I need to make a trade before the start of the season. Got it.
Sure.
Oops. Okay, so let's do this one last listener question, then jump into one or two trade addicts trades before I just fall asleep sitting in this chair. At Ryan Baten, B-A-E-T-E-N. Sorry, man, if that's wrong. 12-team Superflex, 0.5 PPR. Curtis Samuel or the 111?
111.
111. I mean, I don't think you really need to go into that much detail. There should be three quarterbacks going before the 111, which is going to significantly drop a receiver or a running back. So yeah, 111, you're going to probably get a guy like Ruggs or somebody that's a first round talent. So yeah, that is 111 all day. And if you got offered that for your Curtis Samuel, you are running to accept that trade.
Yep. All right. So now let's just do a Trade Addicts trade or two before we go.
Trade Addicts trades.
Trade Addicts leagues, 12 team super flex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75, even though it doesn't matter because there's no tight end trades. And we do have a Trade Addicts ones trade that we'll talk about quickly, but all leagues but one get 0.05 points for return yards. So Trade Addicts one, this one was a fun one. Sterling Shepard for the 304.
I like
Do
Shepard.
Do you think Sterling Shepard is just...
He's a good receiver.
We know the concussions are a worry, but it's 304.
Like, he's a good receiver. And for 304, you're getting a wide receiver four that you can use on bye weeks easily. And I mean, Trade Addicts, I'm in Trade Addicts 7 where we completely tanked. Like, we have half of the picks in this draft.
It
so
was in art form how you tanked.
and I mean, in that type of lineup setting, Shepard is very valuable. So yeah, I'd probably go Shepard here for the 304.
Brian?
Yeah, I agree. I would do Shepard easily in this one.
See, this is why it pays to know your opponents in a trade and why it pays to negotiate. This guy is pick hungry. He has been since he joined the league. He offers me the Sterling Shepard for the 204. So I just reject. I'm like, no, whatever, man. No. Like, before I even get the trade rejected email, I see
a proposal.
Sterling Shepard for the 209. So I'm like, okay, he was that quickly looking to throw for another pick. I'm like, all right, what's my next pick down? 304? All right, let me send that out, see what happens. He accepted, like, instantly.
Yeah, when somebody's going that quickly with trade proposals, they're looking to get rid of that player. Like, I don't think they're looking for picks. They just want to ship Shepard, thinking that he's at a higher value than what you think he is. So, I mean, he probably thought this was a steal in his eyes. But, like, Brian and I are saying, like, Sterling Shepard's a very valuable player for a deep roster and a team that you would need that fourth or even fifth receiver that you're going to start week two, week four, and so on and so forth during bye weeks.
No, see, I could tell you, I almost guarantee what's going through this guy's head. He thinks it would be easier to use the 304 to move up in the draft than it would be to use Sterling Shepard.
Oh, hell no.
Which I don't think is right, but I can tell you that's what he's thinking. He wants these picks because he thinks it'll give him more mobility in the draft.
Not thirds.
Well, I think
good.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead, Brian.
I was just gonna say.
Oh my god, the nice people are never gonna let someone go.
I think the initial offer of the 204 wasn't. I mean, that isn't in a normal draft class. I don't think that's a bad. I mean, I would have considered that in a normal draft class. Who's the wide receiver one in New York? You tell me he's not going to be there. He's not going to be the wide receiver one multiple
Darius
weeks
Slayton.
This year for
Hello?
That team. Multiple yeah. weeks for that team, though. But that's the point. You. It's Tate, it's Slayton, it's Shepard.
Yeah.
Which one of them's going to get it that week?
It's Barkley. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah.
That's the first time he was brought up, and it wasn't by Brian.
Thanks, Tyler.
You're
Appreciate
welcome.
You.
I
Appreciate
knew
you.
I knew I had to. And there's something just really bugging me this whole episode, and I finally found out what it was.
Well, the Giants just traded for some defensive back. I can't remember who it was that was good. So maybe they Giants spent a draft pick on a wide receiver. There you go.
No, they're gonna take that beast of a linebacker, Isaiah Simmons, and change the look of their defense. If Isaiah Simmons could play offense, that'd be great because I mean, he's going to be so good. IDP players, he's going to be so good.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so, that, I mean, that also one was a bit of just a brag on of a trade. Let's move on to Trade Addicts 2. Now, this happens before today. So this one was Darius Geis, the 212 and the 21 third for Christian Kirk and 221 fourths. Also, we were both very drunk.
This one's a little tougher for me, but I would still probably, I don't know. I'd still probably
again,
go
this
Kirk
was
here.
Before the, this was before Nuke and everything.
I think,
so try and
I think
think
Kirk,
it like that.
Kirk is going to be the wide receiver two after Larry leaves. And I honestly think it could be as
be
soon
this year.
As this year. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
this
so.
Year, Kirk is going to have he's not going to have the coverage he had last year. I mean, that's going to be Hopkins. And Kirk is going to be open a lot with how quick and just shifty he is with his routes. He's also a good deep ball player. Kirk is going to have a very good year with how much they're going to pass to. Darius guy scares the crap out of me, and I'm more on the side of go for Bryce Love than Darius guy for the Washington backfield.
I've done that too, by the way.
So I mean, he's so cheap, and you forget he was a early fourth round pick in the year he was drafted. So I know Brian's shaking his head.
I just can't quit Darius Geis. I refuse to do it. I just can't.
The thing is people are saying, oh, look at Delvin Cook and how long it took him with it. Yeah, Delvin Cook actually played. Delvin Cook actually had major production.
Four games, Tyler.
Washington has not shown that they want Darius Geis to be the running back.
Well, they did, because the second he was healthy, they healthy scratched Adrian Peterson and threw Geis out there way too early and ruined him for the rest of the year.
But yet they kept Bryce Love on injured reserve forever. Now he's going to come in healthy. Yeah, I mean, Darius Geis, I mean, I liked him just as much as a lot of people. But, I mean, Christian Kirk, wide receiver, still super young. Give me that side.
Okay, cool. Brian?
Yeah, value-wise, I think it's fine. I mean, I think it's close enough. Like I said, I just can't quit Darius Geis, so I might lean that way with the second in there. But I think it's, you know, I think the value's fine.
Yeah, this trade clearly was one of mine, stemmed from a fun exercise I got from the Fantasy Football Breakdown, where they did a show like 2 or 3 weeks ago about players they don't have any shares of. So I went to, what is it, mystickyboard.com or something like that. I forgot what it's called.
I love that site. Just found it last year. Had no idea it existed.
Yeah, same. And it gives you your player shares. So I pulled that. I pulled like the top 150 in DLF ADP and sort of, you know, did Excel things and figured out which I didn't own. And Geis was on there. So I'm like, all right, let me go get a Geis share. That is not easy to say at this point in the night. And this has ended after, this was probably like 3 or 4 whiskeys deep. This is what happened. I'm okay with it.
I mean, you got the 212, which is a nice kind of consolation prize. I mean, Christian Kirk is going to be worth a early to mid second in this draft.
Yes.
So you put that with, I mean, he gave up 221.4, so oh well. But Geis in the
I just clicked those buttons so he would feel okay, like looking at the 3 for 3.
Geis can make up the difference of Kirk with that 212. So yeah, I mean, it's fair, but I'd rather honestly have Christian Kirk in that amazing offense, what the offense is going to be.
Yep. Sorry, Brian, you were going to say something?
I was going to ask you if it was the honey whiskey or the other specialty whiskey that you had.
Okay, so I had a honey whiskey. I had a peanut butter whiskey. I had peanut butter whiskey's effing delicious.
All right, I need to try that.
Screwball is the brand I've had.
Yep.
With a K, it's oh my, it's wonderful. So honey, then peanut butter, then honey and peanut butter, which was wonderful. And then I just went straight Jameson just to like cleanse my palate. And then I did peanut butter whiskey with salted caramel vodka.
Wow,
it was very good.
Was it sweet? It sounds like it'd be a little sweet.
It you tasted both of them. It was very good, and it has that little sting that vodka gives you. It was very good.
When it's that sweet, that's when you start, you know, ordering French fries or chicken strips or something.
Thankfully, I was home, so I didn't start doing that. But oh man, the hangover I got the next day. Apparently, 5 whiskeys is too much.
All right, let's do this last one. Then we'll send Russ home because he looks like he's sleepy.
Russ is very sleepy. Trade Addict 6. This happened actually right before we started recording. Joe Mixon, which is another person who is on my list of players I don't own that I've been trying to.
Is this
Joe Mixon for the 103, 204, and the 21 second.
Okay. Go ahead, Brian. No, you, Brian.
I was just going to say, I like I like the Mixon side here. I mean, I think I understand the idea behind trading for the 103. You're likely going to get the top, especially in this particular league, you're likely getting the top running back. So your choice of those guys. But I feel like Mixon's value is probably higher than that. I think he's a two first guy, you know, and earlier in terms of value. So I feel like I understand the thought process here. And I think that if you like one of those rookie running backs and you're going to get your pick of which one you take, I understand that. And you get a couple picks on top of that. But I do think that the value-wise, I think Mixon right now is probably worth a little bit more than this particular deal. So I would lean that side.
I think it honestly depends on how the draft goes. I mean, let's put it in this perspective. If you are quarterback needy in this type of class, and say a running back goes at 102, like a Taylor, and you get the chance at Tua, or if you're a Herbert fan, which I don't care which one you take. I like both. I think they're both very talented. And you need a quarterback. Honestly, I think I'd rather have the quarterback than Joe Mixon. That's where my thought process is coming in with these leagues. Like Russ, we mentioned, Doug and I own a team in Trade Addict 7. We are super quarterback needy. Two quarterbacks are getting taken with the first and second pick. Just a heads up, everybody. So, I mean, we also have 103. And who knows? Another quarterback could go. Who knows? It's up in the air. But yeah, I mean, in these leagues, quarterbacks are everything. And if you don't have two stable quarterbacks, you are dead in the water. So, I mean, if you honestly need a quarterback, I could see the trade. But yeah, I mean, if I had my choice of Jonathan Taylor Thomas or Joe Mixon, honestly, I've seen what Joe Mixon can do in the NFL, and it is outstanding. I think Joe Mixon is an ultra-talented running back. So, yeah, give me the Joe Mixon side if I am just needing a running back.
Yeah, this is a
team-building. Long answer.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's sticking in my head is, man, what if Taylor Swift go too, and you get Tua at three? That changes everything in this.
Yeah.
So, like, I get it.
I love Herbert, too. And if you do are desperate need of a quarterback, I would take Herbert at 103. So
even if you take Herbert over the running backs,
if I needed a quarterback, yeah,
man, I wish this worked out well enough for me last year in UDPL when I took Haskins at 103. That did not work out well.
I was not a big Haskins believer.
I was at a wedding and drunk and made a bad choice. But no,
it sounds like somebody pushed you to make that draft pick. I mean,
yeah, it's almost like they were bugging me. What's taking you so long? What's taking you so long?
That nobody in that chat would ever do that. Ever.
No one. Ever. Yes, they would. All of them did it. And I got very all overwhelmed.
Of them. All of us were yelling at me.
All of these Goliaths of the podcasting world. Okay. Completely getting away from that because that's words are not working and I'm tired. Let's go back to this trade for a second. Man, like this year is just destroying what people think about picks. And it's just... I think Joe Mixon is worth the 103 right now. Is he worth multiple firsts? Yes, if you get lower than 103, 104.
Yeah.
Actually, if you get lower than 103, because I'll just say in most drafts right now, 103, the first three picks are going to be two quarterbacks and a running back. So I think once you fall behind the two quarterbacks and the top running back, that's probably a little bit of a cliff value-wise. Not necessarily...
Swift, baby. I love Swift.
See, no, again, like, reality-wise, no. But I think losing your chance to choose which running back you're taking at that spot makes the value dip in the pick itself. I hope I worded that well enough that you said yes, so I hope you understand what I'm saying.
No, I got it, yeah.
So like, to me, like, that's why Mixon and the 103 is just, like, those two make sense. I would never send Mixon for the 103 by itself, but like we keep saying, this is a very deep draft. The 204 in a super flex league, you're gonna get a usable player. Like this isn't your usual mid second.
James just asked, when do you take Love or Hurts? Love Hurts. Great.
But Love
Hurts. Yes, that was my first thought. 204 could be one of those guys in a super flex draft. So, and I mean, I have Love as my quarterback 4 and Hurts as my 5. And if Hurts gets drafted late first, like if somebody moves up in the first, kind of like what they did with Lamar, he's going to skyrocket.
Yeah, he will get drafted earlier than I think we think he will. That is
what Love could be a Tampa Bay's pick if they don't take quarterback, or Love could even be the Chargers pick if a bunch of quarterbacks go, like say somebody trades up to 3 to take 2 and then Herbert goes a 5 to Miami. I mean, we could see Love go to the Chargers. So there's going to be a lot of quarterback movement, and we could actually see 5 quarterbacks in the first round of a super flex draft.
Yeah, and then just think about it. You're getting a guy that would normally in a 1 quarterback league probably get taken at the end of the first at the 204 in a super flex draft.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love the idea of Mixon. I want Mixon because, again, I don't have any shares, so I want him on one of my teams. I think I would pay this for him, but I also think I wouldn't feel bad selling him for this. If my team is not, he's a running back and he's in the league for 4 years, he's about to be worthless soon. I mean, let's be honest.
He's 23.
That's my worry with Mixon is he's going to get his payday. It's coming up. He's going to have his 4th year. And that is about when you want to start trading your running back. Is, okay, I got my 3 years of promise. Now I need to trade him at top value. Like that's a sad part about running backs. I wish you could hang on to running backs forever. Like Barkley's probably the one example that you can hang on to forever. And he's going to last forever. AP was probably the last running back where you're like, oh, I have this player and I love him forever. But I mean, yeah, running backs aren't like that. So that's my main issue with Mixon is you can just hit the refresh button, draft Jonathan Taylor or Swift, whatever your favorite flavor is, and just be like, okay, I got this running back for 3-4 years and then I can trade him at top value. And then the 204 is just, hey, maybe you got a starting quarterback.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I feel like I might have talked myself into the 103 side.
Nice. I love it when that happens.
I hate the value of quarterback in super flex leagues because, man, if you're playing with players like Brian or Russ, it is impossible to get quarterbacks. Legit.
It's not impossible. It's just we know their actual value.
Yes. And it's tough because, like, Doug and I in Trade Addict 7, we try to get a quarterback for weeks and weeks. And we were getting offered bottom of the barrel for early second, late first round picks. And it was like, oh man, it was gross.
Like, I kind of wish we took some of those Haskins deals though.
So I think the thing with like Doug and I, like that's why we're thinking, okay, we got Darnold and nobody else. There's a chance we could take 3 quarterbacks and just feel like we got our soft, comfy blanket for the rest of our damn lives and Trade Addict 7.
Okay. Well, that's the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. Tyler, it's been fun, man. And
I'm
things
glad
did
I
get
kept
weird
you for 2 hours.
Yeah. But I'm going to sleep well because I'm going to go upstairs and pass right the hell out. But before we go, why don't you remind the people who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
Yeah, I am Tyler of Dynasty Happy Hour. I do a podcast with Doug and Tim Keller. They're not Doug and Tim Keller. They're not married or anything, but Doug Eddy and Tim Keller. I do a podcast with them. They carry the show, and I do exactly what I'm doing to this show, and I destroy it. And if it wasn't for them, I mean, we would need to
They're
do
much better.
Every week.
They have had the practice of keeping you at least
yes,
somewhat.
Yes, they are great at it. And also, I'm very excited. Hopefully, this happens in August to meet Russ, to meet Brian, down at the Midwest Expo. I'm super pumped to do this, and you guys should come join. And if you guys don't take a listen to our pod Dynasty Happy Hour, but yeah, I mean, thank you guys for having me on. I know Russ, I said, do you guys have a guest tonight? I had nothing else to do, and your guest canceled, which makes me believe you didn't have a guest, and either that or I did something with the guest.
Shh. Okay, well that's Tyler stuff, so let's do our stuff. patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You heard us talking about the people in the chat because we stream this on YouTube for our patrons, and you can take part in the chat and take part in the show pretty much. And you get to see our beautiful faces and Tyler's stunning GQ pose he's doing right now.
Fist. I got my hands touching my face. I should stop that.
Ooh, there you go. It's okay. You're more than 6 feet away from anybody. It's fine.
And I work in a hospital, so it's almost, it's going to happen. I mean,
just bathe in sanitizer when you get, I was about to say bathe in soap and water, but that's actually how you bathe.
Sanitizer, like on It's Always Sunny. Yeah.
Yeah, it got weird again. what else do we do? ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. We have Trade Addicts Pods, Superflex Super Show. I'm wearing their shirt right now. Top Shelf DFF, Dynasty Game Night, Dynasty Diagnostic. We just added Coast to Coast Scouting. Our boy Andrew Harbaugh, who was supposed to be our guest, by the way.
I should thank him. He clocked out in a draft today, by the way, and we are reaming him for it.
Yeah, life clearly has gotten in the way of him today, unfortunately. But I told him we will absolutely get him on the second we can, because that's my boy. And we have some of his stuff up there. We're going to make some more once the Texans just signed Randall Cobb.
Not better.
It's something.
That sounds like that's a panic move.
Yes, 100%. But no, we're not getting into that now. FFPodshirts.storeenvy.com. Buy some awesome stuff. 10% of all sales go to Fantasy Cares. Also, we have our awesome wristbands. $5 per wristband. Neon green, navy blue. I usually say that the other way around. Man, tired brain.
I have the green. I have the lime green one in my car on my shifter.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
$5 per wristband. $2 of every wristband also goes to Fantasy Cares. So get stuff for you, get stuff for kids.
And they're a little delayed. They're a little delayed shipping currently based on stuff.
The world. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are you talking about? What's going on?
NFL news. We can't slow down for this. We just gotta stay in front of our computers. Yeah. We gotta produce content. True. I think that's, I ran out. I don't know anymore. I'm tired. Night, guys.
Night.
Bye. Tyler, no, say goodbye.
I don't like goodbyes.
Oh, you said it.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.